Would you introduce yourself, please?
Jana Hunter from Lower Dens.
We got you 2010. We got four albums. We got Baltimore, but we're going to get someplace else in a second. Lots of personnel changes.
That's about it. That's the story of the band.
Well, I grew up in a little town inside of a little town in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, the Metroplex. So very suburban, very quiet, very straight, very segregated. Very church-going, like mostly Catholic, a lot of Baptist, and and then I left there when I was about 16, kind of like, I don't know, there's a lot and there's also not a lot to tell about like growing up in a place like that, you know. It was like very straight and very repressed, and and I was a weirdo and I left.
But the reason I was going there is because the first thing someone says when they talk about Lower Dens is Baltimore. But growing up in Texas, as someone who's trying to figure life out in general is one thing. Someone who's trying to figure life out in a deeper way. So you said you were 16 and you left. I'm not going to let you go with that. You got to go a little deeper there.
My parents split up. And they both moved to different suburbs, and I got kicked out of one house and then the other, and I stuck around there to finish high school, and then went to New York, and then moved to Houston, and I lived in other people's homes, in like friends of friends' homes, and then graduated high school. And went to college for one semester in Manhattan, and then dropped out. And then moved to a few of my friends from the Dallas-Fort Worth area had moved to Houston because it's kind of more of a hub, you know, a city for young people or whatever, and to move to. And I stayed there for a long time and was in rock bands and kind of part of the music scene there. And then in my early 20s, I was still interested in making work, and that was all I was interested in. A lot of people that I knew became interested in having, you know, a well-paying 9-to-5 and getting married and buying homes. So I moved somewhere where people were still mostly hungry for making work, and I picked Baltimore because I'd been through there on tour and I really liked it. And that's how, you know, and the band didn't start until I moved there. So that's why I say that it's Baltimore-based. It's got a lot of culture that doesn't get celebrated nationally, and it does have a lot of problems and a lot of structural problems and corruption in the government, and it's a very complex place.
I want to get to this way, way up front. The PR is that since doing some of the, you know, moving forward on all the transitions, that the voices change, that you have to sing a different octave. So talk to me about that.
Okay, yeah, that's good. I do want to talk about the transition, but it's mostly about how I've had a voice that I'm really familiar with for 20 years and undergoing such a fundamental change and not being sure, because a lot of people who go through this kind of change, their voices don't quite recover, don't quite become the instrument that they were before. And that's what I'm really still worried about, you know. It's a lot better than I thought it was going to be, but I'm like, I know it's not what it was. Is it going to be what it was? I don't know. I think it's good for the shows, but it's more about my voice is part of my identity, you know, my literal voice. But then also, I do want the transition to be part of of what we talk about with the record, but it's because I want to talk about my personal experience as a transgender person living in the time that we're living in, you know, and because we all have to contribute in our own ways as far as like representation and where we stand on things. So I think it's good. For me, it means a lot to be able to be visibly trans for young people at this time, especially in our country. And so that people who are fans of ours who otherwise might not encounter a transgender person see one and like can treat them treat others like humans.
You know, back in the day, you couldn't even admit to any of this, but people would still look at Sylvester, they would look at Boy George, they would look at Little Richard, they would look at, I mean, you can go way back and look at people, and people would just go, one of two things, either, man, that guy's weird, or he's an artist. Artists are allowed, being an artist is not an excuse,
yeah.
But being an artist is a reason, as far as I'm concerned, because most artists are strange.
Yeah.
By nature.
Yeah. Somebody, maybe David Bowie or somebody, said you really have to be insane to commit yourself to this kind of work.
Yes, you. But what choice is there?
Yeah, but I don't, you know, I also grew up in a time where, like, I couldn't tell people that I had a girlfriend in high school, you know, presenting as a woman at the time. My parents were not okay with it. None of the people that I lived with were okay with it.
This is a lush record. So are you aware so far now, despite all the other stuff and the 4 years it's taken, are you feeling like you've accomplished what you want to accomplish so far?
I do feel, I felt when we wrapped up the process of making the record that I'd made what I wanted to make.
Great.
I still feel the exhaustion of the process. And so that's my relationship to the record right now. My personal relationship is, I feel exhausted thinking about having made it.
But a great song, and I wrote this way, a great song is a great song no matter what octave you sing it in.
Yeah, that's true, but the way that you do instrumentation, it all matters.
Well, you have to change keys, you have to do all sorts of other stuff.
You have to change keys, but also if I sing something low, it has a different kind of emotional connotation than it has if I sing it in a higher octave. You know, like those things exist, and I think about them all the time. So that's one of the things I'm thinking about when I'm playing live. Is this, at this octave, going to hit emotionally the same way it would in a higher or lower octave?
Coming from the working class and creating a record with these messages, do you think that the fans will actually, because you know the world we live in. Now, we're almost at the end of millennials. Almost, right?
Yeah.
Someone told me that like a millennial now is much older than I think a millennial is. And yet everybody's been...
38, 39.
That's right. But still, everybody's like, effing millennials.
Yeah.
Everybody's a millennial.
Yeah.
But you can't blame that anymore because there's the new generation. And after that, there's going to be the next generation. You put out a record with a lot of juice. And this one's got a lot of juice. It's unavoidable what the juice is. Whether it's your relationships are over here. That's a lot of juice. Especially your relationships. That's a shite load of juice. And then you're going over here and you're knocking the dude who, you know, somehow is surviving,
yeah.
Right? Do you feel like you're succeeding in inciting the fans to take some action, to actually do something versus, oh, these are lovely songs, I can dance to them, I sort of like them?
No, I don't think that my work incites people to action. I think my work is it's meant to resonate with other people who have those feelings in this time especially. Yeah, I feel like that is 90% of the reason that I'm doing what I'm doing at the moment.
So one of the quotes that you have is that you're kind of uncomfortable with the fact that you have to sell a record that is a criticism of capitalism.
Yeah, it's weird. It like, how could that not be uncomfortable?
Yeah, the irony. Well, so how the hell, Jana, do you reconcile that? Because your job as an artist, unless you want to be playing for three people in a little bar in the corner strumming a banjo, right?
Yeah.
On the other hand, you want to reach people because that's your art.
Yeah.
So when you wake up in the morning, how do you reconcile it?
You don't. I don't think you reconcile it.
It's the curse?
Well, no, it's just part of being alive, like having to do things that are complex. And
so Empire Sundown, I know you're pessimistic, but how can it get worse? Can it get worse?
It's gotten worse before. It can get worse again.
You think so?
Yeah.
Wow. So what do we do?
I don't know. Be vigilant now, you know?
That's right. I mean, and, you know, in your house, same thing. It nails it. I asked you this kind of off camera, moving to L.A. So obviously, one of the reasons we all move here is because you're surrounded by a lot more artists. You can do a lot more things. And one of the things you've said is that you want to pursue, you know, something just beyond what you're doing now.
Yeah, I'm getting older, and I have been doing this for a long time, and I've toured really hard, and we've gotten to do some really cushy touring compared to what we did when we were younger, but it's still every day a slog, and I'm away from my family, and I want to find ways to be at home with them. So I came here to see about getting, you know, production and engineering work, that kind of thing.
What is the filter for a Lower Dens song? How do you know that this song's going to fit what you do?
I mean, it's got to make me feel something, kind of like an urgency of expression. You know, like, I've got to get this feeling out, or this makes me want to dance, or, you know, something of that nature. And I don't know, I just trust that because I'm the one who's always written the songs, that they all kind of sound like they are a group.
And the people, you know, it's so funny, musicians say that people don't understand what the difference is between, that literally you could just press one key now and you can get every Moog that's ever been made.
Yeah, you can, but it's still like the difference between seeing a really good 2D representation of something and then like walking right into the reality of it. You know, like, I love the way that the soft synths sound, but that's partly because they're cold. You know,
right.
I want them to be cold, and I want them to leave a lot of space for other things.
Because dark is good.
Well, because there's so many sounds in there, and I want some of them to have. I want them to work. I don't know how to explain that. I want to conserve space in the sound for analog instruments, and that helps to have a lot of kind of cold, soft synths.
Yep, because they can lay back a little bit and let the other stuff do its pounding.
Yes. I feel like there's always a density to what I make, but it's... And especially when I was younger and I was in a lot more pain and I didn't know myself as well, it was more skewed towards kind of a negativity and pessimism and heaviness. And that's, some of those things are still in there. It's an honest representation of how I feel about the world and my experience of it. But I also find joy in living, and I put that on the songs, and I find humor in our predicament as humans, and I put that in the songs. It's all there together. It still remains like very dense. They are very strong feelings, all the feelings that I have. So that's how they come out.
I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich. And what it is two of your songs on the outside, and then anything you want to play in between.